Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And I neglected to mention in the previous hour on The Gardening Show some dandelion facts that I ran into. And they are, of course, edible. In fact, every part of the dandelion is edible. Doesn't mean you want to eat it, necessarily. But the flowers are used to make dandelion wine. The leaves are wonderful sautéed, one of the first greens of spring. And I have no idea how you eat the roots, but they're probably not as good as the greens. But the point of this is that dandelions are actually pretty useful. And this Facebook meme says that a cup of dandelion greens equals 535% of your daily recommended vitamin K and 112% of your vitamin A. And they're about to start blooming here fairly soon. The time to harvest the greens is before they bloom, which means you and they're fairly distinctive greens. You should be able to identify a dandelion green. I don't think there are too many lookalikes that are toxic. But you can often see the little green bud of the dandelion flower right in the center of the plant and be pretty confident that it is a dandelion. And you can harvest all the greens. You're not going to hurt the plant. It'll send up tons more greens. And dandelions are pretty cool plants, really. It also says the dandelion seed can travel up to 5 miles before it lands. Depends how windy the day is, but they're pretty effective parachutes. And up until the 1800s, dandelions were seen as extremely beneficial. People would remove grass to plant dandelions. So, you know, it seems like in the period of this shutdown that we should learn about foraging a little bit. And in my backyard, I've got a whole lot of edible weeds. There's plantains. They'll be coming up soon. They're not up yet, but dandelions are. Chickweed is growing. I saw that for sale. A farmer was selling it just last week. And purslane will be coming up soon. The oxalis, wood sorrel, that also is actually kind of a spicy taste to it. A lot of these other things, well, dandelion greens are somewhat bitter, and they become far more bitter as they start to flower. But you mix them with other greens. You know, mix them with spinach. Mix them with some kale or other things maybe that you're sautéing. And it'll be a nice combination. And again, they are very nutritious, those dandelion greens. So it's kind of a short window to eat them before they get more bitter as they flower. And right now is the time to do that. And I would not eat dandelion greens if they're coming out of a lawn that's been treated with herbicides over the last few years. That's probably not a good idea. Given there may be some leftovers in the, you know, in the soil that it could bring up. You know, certified organic farms have to go 3 years before 3 years of no herbicide use or pesticide use or fungicide use in before they can be certified. So another reason to watch out for that in your yard or if a neighbor's been using that. But dandelions, again, very nutritious. And actually the purslane, which the perennials the dandelions are perennial that come up each year. The purslane is an annual, and that's, we'll get started later on. But I think it's a big source of vitamin, maybe it's a vitamin B. It's one of the most nutritious greens that you can have, and just shows up in your garden as a weed. Most people pull it out. So maybe you know, in this cold spell, warmer tomorrow, but then colder somewhat this week, do a little research on foraging in your garden. Beware of mushrooms. Those, you really need to know what you're doing. And I'm intrigued by the mushrooms. I've seen lots of them, but I don't feel knowledgeable enough to harvest mushrooms that are just growing in my yard. But I did have morels growing next to my house a few years ago. I found them, and I don't know why they just popped up 1 year and then haven't seen them since. Hadn't seen them. We've been here for 24 years or more. And morels are very distinctive looking. There are very few lookalikes, and I think it's the morel that has the hollow stem. So I was pretty sure what they were, but they also potentially take up lead, and you know, the old homes like ours, 1910, it's growing right next to the foundation. It's the area most likely to have lead. So I did not eat those morels, but they were kind of cool to see. And it is, people are starting to find some of the early mushrooms now, and ramps. Ramps, I've seen more postings about those. Some restaurants like Kindred Fair in Geneva was posting about ramps. Chefs like Samantha Baskis showed them. They are showing up in the woods, and you can forage those, but you just can't go and harvest them all. And you can't obviously do that on private property, so you've got to be very careful about doing that and having the approvals to do it. Maybe go with someone who knows where they are and has access to property to forage them. Very hard to grow in your own garden, unfortunately, but you can buy them perhaps at the public market, which is open during the shutdown. There have been farmers in the past who've sold them at the Rochester Public Market. Might be more next weekend than this weekend, but you should look around and you may run into them. They kind of look like scallions with bigger, wider leaves, and really dark green leaves. You kind of saute the whole thing, and have a onion family, garlic family plant that you can grow, or that you can cook with. But actually, it's very hard to grow yourself. Most of the ramps that you see have been foraged, and you know, a farmer maybe has a section of their farm that's woods, and that's generally where the ramps will be found. And so the farmer will go and, you know, harvest a portion of them, but leaving some so they can reproduce, and they'll have them sustainably over a long time, rather than just taking all of them out. But fun to cook with, and really the first, you know, ramps and dandelion greens, the first things to harvest of the spring, and more will be coming quickly. Well, maybe not so quickly, given the weather has been just so cold, and again, more cold weather coming this week. So I have spinach seedlings growing in my garden, and lettuce seedlings, and they haven't really cared about this cold weather. They like cool weather. It's been a little too cold for them to actually grow very fast, but they do like cool weather, and it's time to put those things in. The peas, they like cool weather. Kale, my kale's started growing in the garden from seed, and radishes, broccoli, lots of things you can grow from seed right now, and maybe in a pot if you don't have an area for a vegetable garden. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. Restaurants are continuing with takeout. I've read about a couple of them. SMC Superfly in Penfield, they've decided to close for a few days. They're going to kind of revamp their takeout system, and a number of other restaurants have done something similar, Max and Rohrbach, because they really needed to kind of change their systems to keep their staff safe in the kitchen, to really provide a curbside service, sort of touchless curbside service to get reservation or ordering lines, phone lines, or online systems set up for ordering. And so Superfly is closed for a few days. He's reopening at some point this week, maybe Wednesday, somewhere in that range. They're looking to reopen. And I like that. I'm glad that restaurants like these are taking this very seriously and really working hard to redo their systems so they don't frustrate customers. And if you're not used to doing lots of takeout, your phone lines probably aren't set up to do this. Your website isn't set up to do this. And that takes a little bit of time. Sean McCabe from SiteHub has been doing a lot of this. That's the kind of work that they do. That's yoursitehub.com. They can set up your website for online ordering or online store. That's been their main project for businesses over the last few weeks, is trying to get those systems up. And so they don't frustrate customers. And so you can keep your staff safe, your customers safe. You can adhere to the guidelines that Governor Cuomo announced, which is that essential businesses need to have masks now. And these are face coverings of some kind. And you can make your own. You don't need to sew. They're so easy to do. And it's frustrating to see all the it's not that many, but some very loud complaining about having to wear a face covering. And that's how other countries have lowered their infection rates. We can learn from what these other countries are doing, and but if people don't follow those guidelines, it's pretty useless. So wear the face mask, face covering of some kind, and protect other people, because you may not know you have the coronavirus. You may not have symptoms, but you still could pass that along to other people. And so, again, your mask protects me, and the mask that I wear protects you and other people. And if we can do this, we can reduce the infection rate. We can open businesses sooner. That's what it's all about. We want to get businesses reopened. And in order to do that, we need to reduce the infection rate. It's not rocket science. This is very simple. And Governor Cuomo's had some really good daily press conferences. If you don't agree with him and maybe would never vote for him, have heard lots of negative things about him, you should just listen to one of his daily briefings. They'll be today and tomorrow and for the next couple of weeks. And often things get spun by various media, and you need to listen to the source. And if you listen to him, hopefully you come away thinking that he's not being very political about it, and it makes sense. We're following the suggestions of scientists, of nurses, of doctors, And this is crucial. So, again, usually around 11:30, 12 o'clock, but they're available at any time. You can go back and listen to them. And, again, form your own opinion about what his recommendations are. I think he lays it out pretty well each day. And the reason he's doing this is because he realizes, you know, the police can't arrest everyone for not wearing face masks or face coverings. His job is to convince people it's a good idea for us, to protect us, to get businesses reopened sooner to wear these masks. So, again, his job is to convince people that this is a good idea, and listen to him, to, again, from the source, and perhaps you'll develop a different opinion of how believable he is and the seriousness of this issue. So, again, when you go out as little as possible to stores and things, but wear a mask, and you hope that people in those essential businesses are wearing masks because they're supposed to. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. We have a special guest with us from Joe Bean Coffee. It's Kathy Turiano, founder of Joe Bean. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for giving us a ring this morning. And give us some background in general on Joe Bean and kind of the history of your business.
Sure. We've been around for a while. We actually started out as just a cafe, not a roaster. We did that for a few years out here in Webster, which is where I live, and really came to realize that model was not really going to be competitive in the terrain that we were trying to work in, which was really against some of the big chains, the Dunkin' Donuts and the Starbucks out there. So we took some time, kind of pulled back, took some time and regrouped and decided we needed to become coffee roasters as well as kind of focused on what we would call third wave coffee, focusing on single origins, a little bit more connecting with farmers, doing direct trade, things like that. So that really came with our move to the city, which we did 2011. So 9 years ago, we moved into the city. And about a year ago, we actually expanded our roastery, moved to a new location that kind of immersed people more into our world of roasting coffee. So now you can come into our, well, you could have, pre-coronavirus, you could come in and see us roasting, and, you know, our coffee bar was actually located now within our roastery. So that's what we're doing, and we're really happy to still be roasting coffee and doing our thing here in Rochester.
And the location is over by Artisan Works, I mean, and you give people directions.
We're in the Blossom Business Park, which is actually the building that is adjacent to the Artisan Works. So if you're standing in our roastery, you can look across the parking lot and see the new Aldi's.
All right, and that's and Winton Road there.
In the North Winton Village, right.
Yeah. And what during the shutdown period, what are people's options with Joe Bean Coffee?
Well, interestingly enough, for about the last year, we've actually been building out our subscription program and our online website. And we were getting ready to kind of relaunch our subscription program. April 1st was our target date. So we have a pretty robust online website at this point that people can go on and either get our signature line, which is our Joe Bean single origin kind of single family farm, or we did launch a new line about a year ago for blends. Those are a little bit more lower price point. Those are community blended lots. So now we feature those on our website as well. Plus, you can sign up for our Perpetual Joy website, our subscription program, which you pick how often you want it delivered to your house, how many bags you want, and we sort of take care of the rest. So So our website is a big one. You can also order on our website for pickup. We can do curbside if you want. You just say pickup at the checkout, and then we'll email you. We'll let you know when it's ready. We roast everything to order, and then we'll bring it right out to your car. So.
Nice. And you've been expanding some of the things that you're doing. You said a second line of single origin nitro cold brew coffee.
We're getting ready to. So we have a nitro. It's called Partial Sun. We have a nitro canned product, coffee canned product that we've done. I guess we launched that a couple of years ago, and that was based on a Colombia coffee that we have sourced through our farming partners in Colombia. But we kind of wanted to model what we've been doing with our single origins, which is really based on seasonality. So we're very focused on what's in season and what we can get from the farmers, you know, spring, summer, fall. And so with that, we're going to be launching a new line of our nitro cold brew that will be kind of in line with what we're doing with our single origin coffees. So our next one is going to be our Congo, a coffee from Congo.
What is a nitro cold brew for people that don't know the details of it?
It's creamy deliciousness, Michael. it is.
That's a non-technical term.
It's a non-technical term, right. So if you think of a Guinness, so like the creaminess of a Guinness beer, that's what nitrogen does when it gets infused into cold brew coffee. So cold brew coffee, the actual process of making it is we take hot coffee and then we flash it to make it cold. And so that ensures that it's actually super sweet, naturally sweet, and then we infuse it with nitrogen, so it kind of gives it that real creamy mouthfeel. So it's just a super refreshing way to enjoy coffee that we really like, especially, you know, if you're looking for something nice on the go. When we can be on the go, right?
Right. It's not something that is just for summer. The cold brews now really is kind of a year-round product, right?
It depends. I mean, honestly, we think it's a year-round product, and we've noticed that a lot of younger audiences drink it year-round. You know, of course, anybody can drink it year-round, but we definitely have noticed more like, 20s and 30-year-olds, that tends to be their year-round product.
Yeah. We
keg it, too, and we can it. So a lot of restaurants, we've actually been working with a distributor for about a year. And, prior to everything, a lot of restaurants and bars were actually carrying it as a really nice, like, non-alcoholic option on the bar. Because it looks like a beer. When you actually pour it out of a tap, it looks like a beer. So.
And again, the restaurants could use some more non-alcoholic options like that. So I'm glad to hear they're interested. And they also, restaurants in general could also use some better coffee.
We're working on it. Yeah.
It's a mystery. I mean, restaurants, it seems like, and I really know nothing about running a restaurant, but what it seems to me that restaurants could offer what they offer now in terms of coffee, and it's just average, not very good coffee. But they could charge more and offer a really good coffee, and they would make more money on that coffee. I don't know why no one does it. Almost no one does that, really. I think at one point Tuvine was offering press pots. I think it was Tuvine. Maybe it was Good Luck. Someone was, and I don't know that they are still doing that. But are there any restaurants that maybe carrying your coffee or that are offering really good coffee that you can think of?
I think, Michael, equipment has always been kind of the issue when you talk about restaurants, you know, when you think about the pace of the servers and, you know, the bartenders
right.
and, you know, kind of how they're moving, you know, trying to serve all the customers. And so I think equipment has always been sort of the sticky point to that. And, you know, the coffee industry, again, in the last few years has really come in with some great options, some real, like, bean-to-cup, one cup at a time. You know, you can grind it, you can brew it. And, you know, they things that come out, what we think is, you know, really amazing cups of coffee, that there are some alternatives now. I think they're slowly coming into the market. And, you know, we are actually working. I'm not ready to announce it, but because they haven't announced yet exactly when they're opening. But we are working with some restaurants that are bringing in some really nice equipment and will be opening in 2020, you know, at some point. And I think that's because the choices have changed, you know, so it's no longer so much just on the server to try to do French presses or pour overs or Chemexes or, you know, some of, you know, the ways that you can get a better cup. I think now there are some better choices out there for equipment that go along with specialty coffee. So you're going to see it coming. I believe it's, you know, it's a change that's here.
Excellent. And I think part of what drove it for a lot of restaurants for decades was the coffee producers would provide free equipment if you bought their coffee. And, you know, that was the mass-produced coffee that obviously could afford to do that. So,
right. And those, you know, honestly, some of those pieces of equipment weren't great. You know, you know, some weren't bad, but others, you know, weren't really the best equipment that you can get. And again, I think, you know, the specialty coffee industry in itself is such an ever evolving, changing industry that, you know, you see it addressing these issues. Because I've, you know, we sort of heard this a lot, you know, where people are like, you know, restaurants should, you know, bring in good
right.
coffee. Well, that's a wonderful idea, but it also has to work within their model. So, again, I think the equipment, you know, component of especially coffee has heard it, and they're addressing it so that we can address it. You know, so then,
excellent.
You know, it works for all three of us. So I we've seen it in other cities, you know, the West Coast and, you know, New York City, and, you know, there's a lot of other places that the restaurants have comparable good coffee. But you're going to see it more and more here in Rochester.
Well, let us know when you can announce it and places that are going to be offering something, when this shutdown ends.
It's an exciting project, actually, one you're going to love. and, you know, we're kind of waiting for them to announce it. But, it's something that we're very excited about. We've been working with this particular customer for months. And just starting to see, you know, all the parts kind of coming together. So
good. Kathy Turiano is with us from Joe Bean. And one of the things you had just a few months ago, a collaboration with Kabucha. And how did that come about, and where can people find it?
Well, it came about, I met Katarina, who's the founder of Kabucha. We were actually at an event at Living Roots last summer, I believe it was. And honestly, like, her booth was next to our booth. And, you know, when you're at these things, you share product a lot. You know, we kind of stand around and talk to customers. And, you know, I drank a lot of kombucha that day, and she drank a lot of coffee. So, you know, it was sort of a nice exchange of the beverages that we love. And, you know, we really came to recognize, as we kind of shared our beverages, that we also shared a lot more as far as our philosophy and, you know, just the way that we approach crafting our beverage and, you know, the way that we kind of think about it. And so, you know, out of that came this idea for a collaboration, which is, you know, kind of an unusual collaboration. I mean, kombucha is usually tea-based, and so, you know, coffee is definitely more astringent in some ways when you ferment it. So, you know, that was a challenge to try to figure out how to bring coffee into a fermented product, you know, a tea-based fermented product. But, you know, a challenge that Katarina was up for, and Ben, our green buyer, who's also my son, was definitely up for that challenge as well. So I think what they came out with is spectacular. You know, I really like it a lot. It's fruity. It's light. People were surprised by just how tasty it really was. And you can taste the coffee in it, but, you know, it's more subtle, I think, than people realized.
And where can you find it?
Well, so...
Or is it sold out?
It is sold out. You know, honestly, Michael, I think when all of this hit, you know, all of us who are in sort of beverage making had to really regroup. You know, we had every intention of, you know, we came out with one that we had used, one of our seasonal coffees, our Ethiopian. And then the next one that we were going to come out with was from Costa Rica. We were actually going to take one of the coffees from Costa Rica and do our next kombucha with it. So, you know, when everything hit, I guess it was about a month ago now, right? Has it been a month? Has it been a month?
About that, yeah.
I'm not sure. Anyway, when all of that hit, you know, I think everybody kind of needed to just figure out how to work, you know, and how we were going to actually move forward, you know, through this. So we're just now kind of coming to a place where it's like, okay, you know, her online website is up, you know, ours is up. You know, we've got lines of ways that people can purchase our product. Now how do we circle back around and, you know, go back into production? So I'm going to have to let you know, but we're working on it.
Yeah. Well, all kinds of businesses are doing the same thing, kind of regrouping and streamlining operations, whatever they need to do to really try to survive this. When it's available again, let me know. I didn't get a chance to try it, so I'm looking forward to it in the near future. You also have Joe Bean Talks Coffee. People can see this video series and what kinds of subjects are up now and what will what are you hoping to do in the future with it?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that we opened our roastery actually last April, and one of the big things for us, of course, is education and, you know, talking coffee and, you know, being able to kind of bring people into our space and, you know, answering questions and just sort of immersing them into that world. And, you know, in that light, we had actually launched something a while ago, Saturday cupping series, where, you know, people could come in and we could sort of showcase a variety of coffee side by side and taste them and talk about them. And, you know, it was a real place for us to engage our customers. And so, you know, with all this, we realized that was a big piece of what, you know, we personally kind of lost, you know, in this transition, right? So the way to do it is to do it by video. So we launched Joe Bean Talks Coffee, and we're going to do it weekly. And actually features Ben, my son, and he's been doing, let's see, he's done a couple brewing videos, which, you know, we love doing brewing videos. I mean, it helps people, I think, at home, you know, who are suddenly, like, trying to brew better at home and, you know, maybe some of their options for going out, you know, obviously are a little more limited. So, you know, we're trying to help them to get a better cup of coffee, you know, when they're actually at their home office. But we also plan on doing, like, some real tasting kind of videos with them, more like cupping type stuff. As well as talking to our farmers. We actually started bringing some of our farming partners online with us and just talking through farming and, you know, what's going on at origin and, you know, how's harvesting going and, you know, how do they see things moving forward and just checking in.
And that's got to be one of the, you know, the fun parts for you as a business owner and is connecting people here to the farmers that you've met in other parts of the world. I mean, we can't grow coffee here. I did have some locally grown coffee, but that was from someone's greenhouse, and it was about a quarter of a cup that was split among 10 people.
That's about, yep. We actually have a coffee tree in our roastery, so probably once or twice a year we get about a quarter of a cup, you know, out of it. So, yeah. and it's okay. Yeah. It's, you know, coffee farming is a lot of work, you know, even our little tree. It takes everything we have to make sure that that little tree produces, you know, cherries, let alone good cherries. So, yeah, it's a, we did it. And as far as connecting our customers with our farmers, honestly, Michael, that is our absolute favorite thing. We have been doing direct trade probably the last, like, 6 years. We've built relationships. It's slow going to build direct trade relationships. Takes about a year or two, you know, for us to really kind of make sure that we go down there, we visit, we talk to them. It's all built on trust, you know. The way that we negotiate purchasing from them, and you know, contracting ahead of time, and trusting that what they're going to give us is quality. They trust, you know, they trust us. We trust them. So, you know, these are people that we're proud to work with. These are people that are just loving and kind and hardworking and award-winning. I mean, like, we really do find farmers that are doing exceptional product. And so being able to introduce them to our customers really, truly is, like, our most favorite thing. And I don't know if you heard, but we actually had two of them come here to our roastery in 2019. So it was super exciting. Obviously, we've gone there, but we've never been able to host. We hosted our farmer from Guatemala and one from Nicaragua last year. So, you know, hopefully that'll happen again. You know, as all of this kind of moves forward, we'll be able to continue to do that exchange. But for now, we've gone digital with it. So.
All right. And it's got to be a kind of a cool experience for those farmers to see how much love you put into taking care of what they grow, right? That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. We had Ben Weiner here, who is the founder of Gold Mountain Coffee Farmers in Nicaragua, and he was here in September, and Rochester blew him away. I mean, he works with coffee roasters all over the world, and, you know, he actually represents about, I think at this point he represents about 50 farmers that he has cultivated, you know, really long-term relationships with. And so when he came to Rochester and he was showcasing, you know, coffee from a variety of those farmers, ones that we've kind of known and worked with, the Rochester audience loved him, like absolutely loved him. They asked great questions. They bought product. He said, I remember him saying to me, Kevy, literally, he said, I've done tastings all over the country. And he said, and your customers, not just taste, he said they want to support by buying it. And he said that's just a real credit, you know, to your community and their willingness to support specialty coffee and farmers. So kudos to Rochester, right?
That's right. And there are a lot of roasters now in Rochester, but you're not really competing against each other. It's kind of like the local wineries, the local breweries. You're competing against the major chains and brands of the world more than each other.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, if you think about a number of the roasters, I mean, it's a small community. It seems big, but it's actually a small community. And we all know each other really, really well. And you know, many of us have worked together. And so probably very similar to the winery world where, you know, there's a lot of crossover, you know, as far as team goes. So it what that does is it feels very family. And we are creating collectively a specialty coffee love in Rochester and, you know, upstate New York. And that's really how we all look at it because, you know, one like us as one roaster could never create a movement of people that support specialty coffee. Movements are across multiple organizations, just like a movement to love, you know, upstate wineries, you know, has to come from multiple wineries. So, yes, it's very collective. It's very collaborative in nature.
All right. Well, again, right now you're offering curb service and, of course, a subscription, too, and people can go online and find you, Joe Bean Coffee, and the video series will be ongoing. So.
Yep, JoeBeanRoasters.com is our website. You can actually get 50% off your first bag if you sign up for our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. It's really the thing that we kind of push because it helps us tremendously to be able to have regular commitments for coffee. Right now is, you know, so springtime is the big time to contract coffee from farmers. And, you know, to be honest with you, Michael, a lot of farmers out there are really scared, you know, about the landscape. And so, you know, for us, we've been contracting. You know, we have supportive customers who are committing to purchase from us. And so we've actually been able to go out and contract green coffee from our farmers. And, you know, it just kind of makes sure that we're all working, you know, which is a big help. But. And, of course, like I said, you can also order off our website just any of our bags. We are also offering 5-pound bags for anybody that wants, you know, larger quantities at this time. And we offer pickup, or you can come into our roastery. We are open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can come in. We do stock our shelves. If you do want pickup, you can, you know, if you do want us to do curbside, you can just text us or call us.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you for all the time this morning, and good luck as we move forward here, and we'll watch Ben on the video series.
Yep, that'll be weekly on our Instagram. We're also doing live Instagram, 3 p.m. on Mondays with Ben Weiner from Gold Mountain Coffee Farmers. So thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate your time and your support of local as always.
All right. Well, have a great day. Thank you.
All right. You too. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Kathy Turiano, Joe Bean Coffee Roasters, and one of the premier coffee roasters, certainly in our area, but doing some lots of creative things. The kombucha, that's collaboration, and doing a lot of support of charities. It's really that's what these small, relatively small, locally owned businesses do, and they don't often get a lot of notoriety and press about it. But companies like Joe Bean and many others here in our area, these small local independent businesses, they are constantly asked about donations and silent auctions and things. And I saw numerous people have posted over the last few weeks to think about that and think about the number of times your organizations or maybe you or other people you know have asked for donations. And now is the time to kind of give back to those small businesses, whether they're wineries or restaurants or coffee roasters or stores, give back to them by supporting them, both through purchases as well as gift cards, perhaps, or just telling other people about them that that you ordered from them recently, or that you heard, you know, Kathy on the radio, and we need to support our local businesses, and there are many ways to do that, both again through purchases, but also just by word of mouth and reminding people that they're around and what they're offering right now. We will take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
I love coffee. I love tea. I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jaffa and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of For the Love of Food. Those include Lombardi's Gourmet in Fairport, and they are a small grocery store. Much more than that, too, though. They have foods from around the world. You could have a different pasta every day for the next year from about 300-plus different dried pastas that they carry. And like three dozen different raviolis from gluten-free to vegan and all kinds of other ones. Really a awesome selection in their freezer case, which means you can stock up easily and have those over a period of time here while this shutdown continues. I've got about four or five frozen ravioli boxes still in the freezer from Lombardi's. And they're open every day except Sundays, Monday through Saturday, in Fairport, just north of the railroad tracks. It's lombardisgourmet.com. Also, Max of Eastman Place, Aunt Rosie's, Max Chop House, all three are doing takeout. And Tony Galassi closed the restaurants for a week or 10 days a little while ago so that they could revamp of what they're doing and has now reopened them, offering takeout some delicious food. And I froze some of the takeout I got from Aunt Rosie's a little while ago, so I've been enjoying that over time. And Max Wiesman Place and Max Chop House also offering takeout. Go to maxrochesterny.com and get details. It's cool photography there also on the website. Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company. You can have wine shipped to your door, or you can go and do curbside service. But having some local wines right now is nice to be able to open up maybe a bottle of Riesling from Fox Run. They just got 390-point scores in Wine Spectator for their Rieslings and some fantastic dry red wines. I just finished a port-style wine that had opened about 10 days ago, having a little bit every night or two. I'd have just a small glass of their port style wine. Help me get through these cold nights of April. And again, they can ship to you. Anthony Road Wine Company and Fox Run both doing curb service as well. And Anthony Road, you should explore some of their skin fermented white wines, their dessert wines, their dry reds, Chardonnay, Riesling, beautiful wines. And again, you'll have get a case maybe, and you'll have some on hand to use as gifts or thank yous for other people. It's AnthonyRoadWine.com, FoxRunVineyards.com. Rohrbach Brewing Company is two locations. They are doing takeout at both the beer hall on Railroad Street and the Brew Pub on Buffalo Road. They also closed for a week or 10 days to revamp things and are doing online ordering. So go to Rohrbach's.com as they are now offering that once again. And you can get four-pack of Space Kitty along with your order maybe, or try one of their classics like the Scotch Ale. Red Wing Ale is now available. And now that it is spring, too. It's at Rohrbach's.com. Dr. Constantine Frank, Vinifera Wine Cellars can ship wine to your door, and their sparkling wines are amazing. We had the Celebra Rosé, and they just bottled a new vintage of that. They just posted that a couple days ago, and it was an amazing bottle of wine, great value. A number of different sparkling wines at Dr. Frank's, as well as many dry reds like Saporavi and Cabernet, also gorgeous Chardonnays. It's drfrankwines.com. And you order the wines, or you can pick them up there, but get a copy of Dr. Frank's biography. It is a fascinating read. That's drfrankwines.com. Ristorante Lucano, they are doing takeout, And I got some extra takeout from them a little while ago, and their vegetarian lasagna, which is fantastic, with eggplant and zucchini, cheese, and it was easy to freeze. So I got a bunch of those last time I got takeout from Ristorante Lucano. And they also have Italian wine available. And if you want to learn about Italian wine, this is the place to help you do that. So normally you'd be able to taste it in the restaurant, but with the shutdown and takeout, you can get a bottle to take home with you. It's ristorantelucano.com, open Tuesday through Saturday, East Avenue, right near Winton. That's, again, ristorantelucano.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food.
Not zucchini, fettuccine, bulgur wheat, but a big warm bun and a huge hunk of meat. Cheeseburger in paradise. Heaven on earth with an onion slice. Not too particular, not too precise. I'm just a cheeseburger in paradise. Heard about the old time.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Ford Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM, and RochesterFoodNet.com. I'm a part of that collaboration of local food writers, food media here in Rochester. And you can read about all kinds of things happening in our area, including the hand sanitizers that local distilleries are making. There's an interview I did with Chris Carlson there at Rochester Food Net. Also, just posted fairly recently, this last week, Karen Cross-Smith has a post about cookies, finding your calm in a cookie. And, of course, not only good to eat them, but also your house, your apartment just smells amazing when you're baking cookies. So check out that post, rosterfoodnet.com. Also, Chris Clemens, who we'll talk to in the next hour, has one on making your own Luca Woodfire Bistro Pizza. And they've been providing the ingredients and the instructions so you can make your own pizza at home. They are located where Remington's used to be, right on Merchants Road. Luca Woodfire Pizza Bistro is doing make your own. Take home the ingredients. And you can read about that and a whole bunch of other posts at rochesterfoodnet.com. Also, follow us on Instagram. I'm posting some photos, and we'll be over the next week on Instagram as I try to learn more about it. And look up Rochester Food Net on Instagram and say hello, or send us an email, rochesterfoodnet.com. This is a challenging time to get through for small businesses, for people in general, but small businesses are trying to survive this kind of shutdown. And as I said last hour, I hope you'll follow Governor Cuomo's, not just recommendation, but really a mandate at this point, that you wear masks or face coverings when you are in public and are near other people. You know, if you're the only one in the park, probably don't need to have your mask on or face covering. But if you're walking on and you come down and walk on a trail where other people are, then put it on. Have it with you. This is not a huge inconvenience, given the risks of infecting other people or you being infected. We need to be smart about this and learn from what other countries have done. And this is helping in other countries to reduce the infection rate so that we can reopen businesses sooner. That's what this is all about. And we've got to ramp up the testing somehow. The Defense Production Act is up to the federal government to engage that, to produce the tests. This is what we need. This is what the doctors say. This is what the governors say. This is what scientists say, epidemiologists. We need testing. And that's exactly why the Defense Production Act is available to the federal government, so that these things can get done at a scale that states can't do. We need hundreds of millions of tests available, and that's not something that New Jersey can do, or New York State, or Idaho, or, you know, this needs to be done at the national level, and they are sitting on their hands not doing it. And it's something's got to change, and very quickly, if we're going to reopen businesses. Without testing, it's crazy to just open things up without knowing what we're facing. That's a crazy idea. So we got to get this testing ramped up, and I'm not sure what's going to make that happen, really, at this point. It's amazingly frustrating to hear and talk to small businesses. I'm one myself, and the testing remains being relatively slowly ramped up compared to other parts of the world. We've learned nothing from other parts of the world, and that is maddening. We will be back in the next hour with Discover the Finger Lakes. Tomorrow it's the Grapevine, 9 to 11, here on WYSL 1040.